This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
We'll be taking you through the big and not so big stories in the news this week when the TV show can't.
Think of it like this. If the main show is a multi-billion pound supercomputer, then we're a robot vacuum cleaner. Accurate. Little Roomba going round. That's us. Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
How have we all been this week?
Yeah, fine.
Jack.
Yeah.
Isn't it your birthday today?
It is my birthday today, yeah.
This is genuinely news to me.
Happy birthday.
Cheers, mate. Yeah. No, I'm not one to really tell people.
Why?
Mate,
you don't look a day over 47.
Thanks, Pat. I appreciate it. No, normally I do something a month after my birthday.
Why?
Like, I'll have people get together to celebrate my birthday secretly. But a month later, because then it's not as if it's like something for my birthday. It's like a gathering of people that I like, but not necessarily. So I'm the middle of the
focus. What happened in your childhood?
So you have an event and you invite people to it and they don't know it's your birthday, but it's secretly your birthday.
I say
secretly in your head, you're going, happy birthday to me.
I guess it's an excuse to have lots of people together for something, right?
Okay.
Because I like that element of birthdays, but I don't like the element where everyone's like, oh, we've come together because of you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The good thing is no one knows because you haven't talked about it on a national podcast.
That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. Keep it under wraps, guys.
So when are we invited to the month celebration?
Hell no.
I mean, we might have been to one and we just don't know.
Exactly. I will let you in and I'll let you know next time.
And the birthday?
Oh, no. Here we go. Okay. He's already started.
Emerald's not here and I'm really feeling that.
Emerald's away this week. But as is tradition on the podcast, she sent us in a voice note. And because it is Emerald, apparently she's got a game for us to play.
Oh, thank you,
so
Emerald.
Let's have a little listen.
Hi, everyone. Hope you're all well. Sorry I can't be there with you this week, but I am travelling around Asia. Right now I am in Singapore, and one of my cousins has an 11-year-old son, and he is very, very sweet. His English is great, but he has been testing me on my Mandarin, and he's not been the most generous teacher, so I did a little test on him myself, and I thought I could turn it into a bit of a game for you guys. Basically, I showed him pictures of different British figures that are in the news at the moment, and I got him to describe them. And I thought maybe you guys could try and guess who he's describing.
This is incredible.
To start off with the first one, I showed him a picture of this person and he described him as looking old. He looks like he reads the Bible. He thinks he's seen him in the news a bit. And he described him as smartly dressed and said that he looks like he has a soft personality. So who do you think he's describing there?
Soft personalities.
I was going to say Jeremy Corbyn until the smartly dressed bit.
I was going to say Ed Miliband until the...
Until the competent. Ed Miliband does look like a Bible salesman, doesn't he?
If someone looked at a picture of me and said they've got a soft personality, I'd be pretty gutted, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, that's really disrespectful. It's Keir Starmer.
I wonder if the soft personality line gave this away, but he was describing Keir Starmer.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, nailed it.
For the second picture, he said that she looks a bit young, she looks rich, she looks beautiful. He said she looks like a graduating student with a gentle personality, and he said she has black hair. The front is short and the back is long. Who do you think he's describing there?
Bit young, rich.
Oh God, it's not who I think it is it?
Go on.
Kemi Badenoch. There is something about the student about her. Even when she does PMQs, she's sort of like she's just practicing in the student union debating society.
She does seem like one of those girls I went to secondary school with who's like, actually, that's not right. Whenever the teacher would say anything.
The ones you bullied.
Yeah.
I'd also love to see what someone who had hair that was the same length at the front and back looked like. Got to be quite an interesting haircut for a woman.
Bald person?
Or bald. Or bald cut.
Technically.
He is, of course, describing the rich, beautiful, gentle Claudia Winkleman.
We were politicians.
And for your final question, I showed him another picture of someone that's in the news and the media at the moment. He said that this person looks strict. She looks a bit old. She looks like she teaches geography. And he said she looks like she has anger issues. So who do you think he's describing there?
Jess Phillips.
Strict old
I got that from geography teacher. She'd kill it.
I'm going to go for it. Podcast favourite. Your friend of mine, Liz Truss.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Queenie Miller.
No, I think...
we're interchangeable at this point.
I think that's the vibe.
Me and old Truss.
I might go to Rachel Reeves.
He was, of course, describing Rachel Reeves. Who perhaps has a lot to be perturbed about right now.
Nice. Yeah.
So I hope you enjoyed that quiz. By my calculations, Queenie gets 10 points from that. So well done, Queenie.
Thank you.
I will be away next week as well, but I will try and send another little quiz through. Missing you guys, but I actually might go and have a swim now. See you soon. Bye.
God, I miss her so much.
I just had to get that dig in.
Yeah, just rubbing it in.
Just going to go for a swim.
Just want to go back to Claudia Winkleman. The hair thing totally makes sense now.
Oh, short at the front, long at the back.
To be fair, he's absolutely nailed it. He's nailed those descriptions. He's got the fact that Reeves has gone through it and she's probably pretty aged.
Yeah. It's been a bit of a rough week, hasn't it?
It has been a rough week, which kind of gets us on to our round one, where we talk about the big talking point of the week, which is sort of been changing, isn't it? I mean, the major picture is that the government's sort of economic woes and sort of borrowing costs jumping up and a lot of chat around Rachel Reeves and her position as Chancellor.
Mm.
We've also just, as we started recording this, had the news that Tulip Siddiq has resigned as Treasury Secretary. So it's going really well at the Treasury at the moment.
Not the Labour resignation most people were expecting this week. Liz Truss 2.0.
Yeah, so Daily Star came out absolutely guns blazing today, asking if they need to get a second lettuce.
Wow.
And I have to say, the Photoshop they did, that would be a lovely thing to show on the side-by-side on the show of Rachel Reeves and her fantastic lettuce on the front of the Daily Star with just the eyes and the hair.
I just think it's a bit uninspired. They should pick a new vegetable for a new scandal.
Oh, yeah. What vegetable would you go for?
You need some alliteration, don't you? So like... Rachel's radish or something.
Yeah, I was thinking radish, like red and angry. And
radish is solid because I think it lasts for quite a long time.
Maybe rocket. Rocket lasts for about 3 hours.
That's really bad if they're getting a bag of rocket for Rachel.
You basically just have to eat it while you're still in the supermarket. It's not great for Labour because their whole build-up to coming to power, Keir and Rachel Reeves have been at the centre of this. A key plank has been... Look what Liz Truss did. Look what the Tories did. Don't forget about Liz Truss.
I thought you were going to say a key plank was Keir Starmer.
That'd be Wes Streeting. He's got key plank vibes. Yeah.
Sorry, mate, you were saying they've done all this and they've pushed this through.
They've pushed this narrative. I mean, they're not wrong. Liz Truss did mess things up, but they've really gleefully pushed this and said, oh, she's completely naive. She should have known not to spook the markets. Mm. She should have known this will happen, predicted the bonds, blah, blah, blah. You can trust us. And then within 6 months now, they haven't crashed it fully in the same way that Liz Truss did, Sumi. But, like, it's pretty embarrassing for Labour.
Liz Truss sent a cease and desist letter to Starmer about saying that she crashed the economy. And they're like, nah, we're not going to stop saying that.
She said that she wanted them to stop because it was tarnishing her reputation.
What reputation?
You're going to have to be sending out a lot of cease and desist if you're worried about your reputation being tarnished, Liz.
I don't think legally she's got much of a leg to stand on.
Not really, no.
They don't seem to have much of a plan. They seem really shocked that this hasn't just automatically worked.
Keir Starmer said he's got the full confidence in Rachel Reeves, which the Daily Star commented and said that made it more likely that they need to go and get a lettuce.
Yeah.
It's like touch of death.
Anyone who knows football, anyone who knows management speak is when the chairman says, that manager has my full confidence. They will not be there by the end of the week. Keir's going to bring in Sam Allardyce to run the economy.
Yeah.
He can keep it tight at the back. Can work on a small budget.
Yeah.
Rachel Reeves said this week, she said, the economy must go further and faster as she revs the accelerator over a cliff.
And have we ever discussed who's coming up with these slogans? Not just for Labour, for the Tories for the last 14 years, but like 22 billion black hole was said like 146 times, I think, like a Times poll said. And whatever you just said, it needs to go faster and further.
Further and faster.
You talk about recycled like phrases and ideas, like the big story that, you know, Rachel Reeves sort of saying that they need to be ruthless with public spending cuts. And you're like, God, that rings a bell. There's something about that rings a bell.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger of where that's come from, but, you know. Because the Daily Mail, the front of the Daily Mail today sort of described Rachel Reeves and Tulip Siddiq as two lame ducks. And one of those ducks is roasted already, as we said. Tulip Sadiq's resigned.
Yeah.
You'd imagine she probably would have been pushed at the end of the inquiry into her stuff. So you imagine she's jumped because they found that actually she was far too close to the kind of controversy around her family and stuff.
I mean, the whole thing basically stinks. I mean, to take it back, Tulip Sadiq, Labour MP, her aunt was Sheikh Hasina, who's actually Bangladesh's longest serving prime minister, and basically ran one of the most authoritarian, corrupt regimes the world has ever seen. That, you know, genuinely huge human rights violations, people criticising the government disappearing, enriching her own family. This is all fact. This isn't even like, I don't even have to throw in like an allegedly here. And she got overthrown last year by the people. Seriously corrupt. So Bangladesh are now running an investigation, an anti-corruption investigation in Bangladesh. And whose name should come up but her niece, Tulip Sadiq. And it turns out that Tulip Sadiq may or may not have some financial connections to her aunt. Doesn't look very good, including using her properties in London. Mm. I think she might be quite thick, Tulip Sadiq, because one of the properties in question is in King's Cross. So this is a property belonging to her aunt, the overthrown dictator. And Tulip Sadiq says she has no idea how the property came into her possession or if she even owns it or not, at which point a journalist just rang up the land registry and they went, oh, yeah, we've got a record here. We've got a document she signed showing she owns the property.
Oh, right.
And it's come from her family. And she's like, I don't know. Have I? Am I? I don't know. I just opened the door one day. Someone gave me a key and I just moved in.
I love the idea that, like, the people you want in power are sort of people who just find themselves in buildings and then don't ask any questions. They just, yeah. Oh, there's a bed there. I guess I'm going to sleep here now. Yeah. Who owns it? Don't know.
It's absolutely...
It's a solid excuse.
So they've now had a British government inquiry or a parliamentary inquiry. Tulip Sadiq's jumped on the fact. She said, oh, I haven't done anything wrong. She keeps saying, I haven't done anything wrong. But what the inquiry said is there's no evidence due to a lack of available records. So they're basically trying to find stuff and they haven't found anything yet. So obviously when you're innocent, the natural thing to do is to resign before they find anything. Yeah, obviously incredibly unfortunate for Tulip Sadiq when you're also the government's anti-corruption minister. I mean, genuinely, if this was the Tories, they would be being roasted alive for this.
It's interesting because you kind of saw at the end of the sort of Tory reign where, like, Rishi Sunak would try and give these announcements and do stuff. It would just be derailed by, like, some kind of controversy or something like that. And that's exactly what's happened these last 2 weeks. We've had the NHS announcement by Starmer derailed by Elon Musk. Yeah. This time he's got his big AI announcement completely derailed by Rachel Reeves. So you kind of think,
yeah,
he just needs to stop trying to make these big announcements because I think that's the... he just needs to deal with what is happening in front of him. The AI announcement is quite funny. I do like it.
Yeah.
All the kind of like reports on it just showed how out of touch we are. The fact that we think we can become an AI superpower is absolutely wild.
Also, what does that even mean? What does that even mean?
Some of the stuff was written. I loved it. I was like, this is the sort of stuff I was like, my mum writing an article, God love her. If she had to write about AI, it was like, oh, they're going to be feeding AI through cameras to spot potholes. It's like, ooh. Feeding AI through cameras? What are you talking about, man?
Do you know what it really reminded me of?
Mm.
Do you remember those like 1993 BBC archive? Here's how to use the internet in your home. You can surf the web.
Send an electronic letter.
I mean, that AI announcement, the things that Labour government want to do is they want to build a supercomputer and they want to use AI teaching assistants, which is being used in 30,000 schools. So I text my mate, who is a deputy head teacher. I said, do you know anything about these AI teaching assistants? Like, is that a thing? He said, absolute horseshit. No idea what they are. They're not a thing.
Yeah.
I guess AI is going to help reduce class sizes because...
Just going to get rid of kids.
You'll have more children killed by both automated cars and robot dogs. So less children for teachers to teach, I guess.
Robo-XL bullies.
Yeah, there we go. Robo-XL bullies will take out kids.
You can't become an AI superpower without some Robo-XL bullies.
I also think people aren't talking enough about how... We want to be a leader in like green energy, right? And climate. And that's something that Labour's been talking about a lot since they came to power. Can't do both, mate. You can't do AI and being a green superpower. It's the absolute opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who's like the godfather of AI, he had a lovely festive message.
Mr. Oppenheimer.
Not Oppenheimer, no. Guy called Jeffrey Hinton. He said the chance of humanity being wiped out within the next 3 decades by AI has gone from 10 to 20%. So
it's really encouraging.
That's what we want to get involved in.
Also, AI superpower to me, all I can think is Britain's going to become the best country at putting memes on TikTok. Because that's basically the only use I've seen of AI.
Welcome back to In The News This Week. It's time now for round two, where I'll ask each of you to bring a smaller, possibly sillier story from the past week that you think would work best for round two of the TV show. Queenie, what story have you got for us this week?
So a baby born on New Year's Day called Lucifer was born in delivery room 6 before being taken to bed 6. In room 6.
Excellent.
This is the most Queenie story ever.
A couple have defended their choice to call a baby Lucifer, and then these coincidences happened that spelled out 666.
Hold on, whoa. Hilarious. So they did they call him Lucifer and then it happened, or the 6 happened and then they were like, well, there's only one name. It's Beelzebub or Lucifer. We've got one or the other.
No, they called him Lucifer at conception, apparently, which is just weird wording. What? Anyway, they're my favourite people.
I've never heard of someone naming their child at conception, because that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, that's
well, when they found out they're pregnant. But I love where you went with that.
So, Queenie, where was this? Let's get back onto the...
This was in North Yorkshire in Redcar. Their names are Jess Bell, not joking, like Jezebel, and Stephen Wake. So the baby's surname is Wake, Lucifer Wake. Lucifer Gary Wake.
Wait, what?
The stakes have gone so far down from Lucifer to Gary.
They really, really panicked, didn't they? They were like, oh, God, we're going to get in trouble for Lucifer, so we'll go for Gary.
Yeah, Lord of the Underworld and middle manager at Morrison's. But essentially, Jess and Stefan have come under a lot of scrutiny online. More so for Gary, for some reason, as this article says. It's funny to note that they've said he's the best behaved baby you could ever wish for. After his bottle, he goes to sleep and you don't hear a peep out of him. We haven't had a single sleepless night. He's an angel, not a little devil.
It's the quiet ones you got to watch out for. Ooh. It's one of the most famous sayings in the world.
This happens sometimes, and they get, legally, they sometimes get forced to change the baby's name. So are they going to be forced to lose that horrendous Gary?
That actually hasn't happened yet. They checked before naming him Lucifer that it was legal to do. I mean, they also asked the opinion of a vicar at a local church because they do want to have him christened, obviously. And we explained why we chose Lucifer and what the name literally means. And she was delighted. She said she'd have no problem baptizing him at her church.
As she backed away slowly and locked the door.
Yeah, she grabbed a crucifix.
Lucifer was an angel, wasn't he?
Yeah, it does mean like shining light. After they read about the story of the biblical Lucifer, it made us even more certain that the name didn't really have bad associations. It's not as if we called him Satan. You did. Lucifer and Satan are interchangeable, isn't it?
And now Gary. Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, Gary. Thank you for bringing us the most Queenie of Queenie stories.
Yeah, it was very Queenie. I like it.
Yeah, Queenie Max.
Mike, how about you? What have you got for us?
Keeping it in the underworld. My story's about tech bros. I just thought it would be interesting to talk about. It's quite a big story. Zuckerberg continued weird U-turn into arse kissing Trump and doing all the weird checklist of MAGA supporters, like going on the Joe Rogan podcast. And he said this week he complained about office culture and environments and said there's too much feminine energy in the office and there needs to be more masculine energy.
I don't think he's qualified as someone who's been around enough women to know what feminine energy is. I think we're forgetting that all of these men are just incels who started all of their websites based on a hot or not list.
No, it's true. That's such a good point, though.
It's insane.
The hot or not list.
Feminine and masculine energy. Get off TikTok, mate.
Hey, I'm going to defend him, right? Because last year, he built a statue for his wife. In the ancient Roman tradition, and some historian pointed out, yeah, normally you do that when they die, mate. So it's kind of a slightly odd thing.
So your defense of him is that he built a statue for a woman that he wishes was dead.
You should Google. No, he doesn't want to wish he's dead. He just got it slightly wrong.
Is that why he got rid of the fact checking?
Oh, well, because a historian called him out.
Yeah. And now he's just like, oh, no, now we can just say that's bullshit.
But the Zuckerberg thing is so weird. It's like, I don't know how he can deliver it with a straight face. Like his statement last week about getting rid of Facebook fact checkers. he said, look, bad stuff is going to get through. I think he literally said more bad stuff is going to get through, but less innocent people will have their content blocked. And you think, what?
I think the content and fact-checking department, he's moved them and he's made this big show of doing it from California to Texas in this sort of idea that it's like, oh, it's not even just that. It's like people within my company, these lefty liberals, will put the fact-checking in Texas. They'll just throw a tweet up in the sky and shoot at it, see if it's honest.
But they'd already moved by the time he said they were going to move. Well, they're already there, apparently.
Yeah, apparently they're already up, which makes it even worse because it's, again, it's just more kiss-arsing.
I'm still surprised that their Facebook are, like, getting rid of fact-checkers, because some of the stuff that I see people that I went to primary school with posting, I'm like, I reckon that's... that if that's gone through the fact check machine and they're getting less fact checkers, who knows?
Yeah, I've noticed the fact checking gone already because I went on Facebook and someone I know had written Arsenal were the greatest football team the world has ever seen, and no one corrected them.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. You've made so many football references that I've just kind of checked out. Again, and I love football. Emerald's I just don't care about talking about
it. It's like, really weird, isn't it? We've just gone full. I was going to say we've gone full laddie, but I don't think we qualify.
So, because Emerald's away this week, I'll be finishing up round two with my own story, which is that a restaurant in Norwich has started charging £100 for a pineapple pizza. I don't know if you saw this, but there's a place called Looper Pizza in Norwich, and they've put the price tag on the pizza to try and put people off buying it because they think it's a sacrilege.
Oh, so it's not like a special pineapple?
No, they think
it's morally abhorrent, don't they?
Oh, that's genius.
I mean, I don't like pineapple pizza. Sweet and savoury, you both know, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
Very strong feelings about it, which is why I chose this story. And I don't believe in any sweet and savoury. Sweet and sour chicken, terrible.
I'm just going to let you say these things and let people hate you, and then I'll jump in.
Yeah. I look forward to the response from people this week.
I think it's the worst thing in the world.
I just disagree.
Sweet and salty popcorn.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It's lovely.
Fruit in salad.
Oh my god, fruit salad, worst thing in the world.
Duck in a plum sauce.
Lovely. And I'm vegan, so
listen.
And it's lovely.
Putting raisins in a curry. Freaks. Anyway, we're going back to this story. These people have put pizza £100. I would say they could just not have it on the menu. That's a possibility. But instead they've said £100 to put people off. It's big news because it was in
Because it's in Norwich and nothing bloody happens there.
Yeah, huge. How did the Times editorial board today describe Hawaiian pizza?
An abomination.
Wait, it's the Times, so
An affront and a risk to national security.
A grotesque culinary perversion is what they described
perversion. It. Whoa, now, perversion. That's getting quite...
They covered this
story. I didn't know
story.
You wrote for the Times, Jack.
Honestly... The Times leading article, which they have every day, which sort of basically says what the editorial board think about stuff. And in the last 7 days, they covered AI, Starmer's confidence in Rachel Reeves, the sovereignty of the Chagos Islands, the British prison population, and a Norwich pizzeria's decision to make the Hawaiian pizza £100.
Sounds about right.
I loved it. They said, taxing pineapple on pizza is a policy worth pursuing. They were all for it. They loved it. They said, usually the Times stands firm against tax rises, but this is one levy that Rachel Reeves would do well to emulate. So maybe this is the way back to get her back in.
Oh my God.
What I also like in this story, they include the fact that YouGov did a survey a couple of years ago and they found that 84% of Britons like pizza, 82% of people like pineapple.
We are getting dumber.
Only 53% like the combo of pizza and pineapple. So 47% of people in the country. Oh, right. Basically.
Do you reckon that poll was really high up on YouGov's list?
Huge.
Like, we're going to do like electorate and fiscal policy.
I think more people have been willing to answer that question than whether or not they like Keir Starmer.
But only 8% of people like Keir Starmer on a pizza.
Yeah.
Now that would be a culinary perversion.
And now we've finally calmed down from the sweet and savoury thing. It's time for round three.
Let it go.
And this is the missing words round. Back again.
Are they all food themed?
All pizza topping themed.
98% of Brits think what is not allowed on pizza?
I'm going to read out some headlines from the news this week. And you just need to fill in the missing words. So first up, We've got Londoners brave freezing temperatures for what?
Greg's opening day.
To shout abuse at Keir Starmer.
I think that probably happens all year round, so it doesn't matter what temperature. But the answer is Londoners brave freezing temperatures for no trousers tube ride.
Yeah, this is a classic.
It was 2 degrees Celsius in the capital, and people went out. It was described by the organisers as a fun activity just for the sake of fun. Which you sound really excited about, both of you.
No, I really like it. It's one of those things that's on my list of, like, this is a joyous day for stills. Because sometimes it's really dry and you're scrolling through Getty for ages. And then suddenly a bunch of, like, half-naked people on the tube, normally really funny.
Well, it was organised on Facebook. So clearly it's the first consequence of no longer having moderators to remove unpleasant material, basically. Okay, next one. Museums in Italy offer free what to encourage visitors?
Pizza covered in pineapple.
Fascism.
Oh, for free. Yeah, free Mussolini book.
Mussolini book.
On the front it says, Mussolini, not as bad as you think.
Those little green headphones you get at the Vatican.
Offer free blessing from Pope.
The answer is actually museums in Italy offer free dog sitting to encourage visitors.
Yeah.
They get walked, fed and watered while the owners visit the museum. So you sort of think, like, if you're an Italian, you'd be like, yeah, someone could just look after my dog, go to work.
Not so good if you turn up with a guide dog.
Not ideal.
They just take your dog off you anyway.
I mean, I imagine most of the exhibitions would be pretty Ruffalite.
Oh.
Okay, next one.
because it's actually pre-Raphaelite. Dogs
keep going,
go rough.
Keep going.
Scientists name new species of spider in Australia. What?
Noel Edmonds. Oh, that's New Zealand.
Not as scary as you think.
Anthony Albanese.
Well, scientists name new species of spider in Australia. Big boy.
If the Australians are calling him Big Boy, that's
that's not a good
terrifying
sign, isn't it? Yeah. This is a Sydney funnel web spider, and they found there are three species rather than the previously thought two. And because the species was unusually large, the Australian scientists went with Big Boy.
That's terrifying. That's the most deadly spider in Australia, so.
The funnel web spider, is it?
Yeah. It's good they've discovered another variation of it that's bigger than the others.
It's the biggest discovery for Australian scientists since that time they worked out you could serve wine in a can.
Really good.
What risks putting podcast hosts out of a job?
Talking about your hatred of sweet and savoury food together, even when everything has indicated that it's not an avenue or topic that anyone else cares about or wants to talk about, but you're going to enforce your views on anyone anyway and get the podcast cancelled.
If they want to fire me because of my crazy views, then I'll happily be that martyr.
You should go to GB News.
Oh my God.
They're looking for people like you.
The worst cooking show ever.
Yeah. Jack's Cooking Corner.
It's very bland, I'll admit, which would suit the taste buds of GB News viewers, I'm sure. Yeah. Just keeping it very solid beige. I like it.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, books or any better form of entertainment or, like, education.
And remember, you can download our podcast every week from any good podcast provider. The answer is fake Michael Parkinson risks putting podcast hosts out of a job.
Is he going to host every podcast?
Apparently so.
He's just better.
The disembodied AI voice of Michael Parkinson.
It's called Virtually Parkinson.
And if you'd like to see AI Michael Parkinson replace Jack Harris on the podcast, just write in to Hattrick or your local MP.
I bet AI Parkinson would love a peanut butter and jam sandwich. Like that.
Oh, God, we're back on this.
Very quickly, for those people who doubt the sweet and savoury thing, bread is a canvas, and so it doesn't count as either sweet and savoury, so you can have jam
and life
on it.
Life is a highway.
And you can also have separately Marmite on it.
Emerald.
So anyone coming in the comments with any of that sort of stuff or emailing us, don't bother. Bread's a canvas, and just don't even bother.
You know, like when someone drops a grenade in a room and runs off? That's what I feel like Jack's doing.
I've
with
had
these
so many
opinions.
People try to catch me out, and they never have.
Emerald, I'm so sorry. Thank you for listening to In the News this week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
And just a quick thank you to everyone who entered our missing words round on Twitter and Instagram. We put up, museums in Italy offer what to encourage visitors. Before I announce our favourite, Jack wanted to say thank you to everyone who read his mind and suggested pizzas with pineapple on them. But we'd like to congratulate at ChrisJBurch_UK on Instagram for his suggestion of a generous sprinkling of Parmesan. Thanks for all of your suggestions, and look out for a new missing word next week.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode. Come on, everybody. Bye.
Bye. I'm joining in now. New year, new me.
Bye.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The engineer is John Wakefield. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.